eventful day, a wonderful day, and we're thankful that God has blessed us with beautiful weather. It has absolutely been a beautiful day, but I understand that winter is on the way. And come Wednesday morning, I think we're going to be down below freezing, and the high, I think on Wednesday, is going to be around 40. So anyway, it's really going to be an abrupt change in the weather. And we hope that all of you, however, will want to join us on Wednesday evening for our worship service. Tonight, we're going to talk about a subject that Jesus addressed in his ministry, and no doubt it is one that bears a lot of thought. And our Lord spoke of that subject, and he called it meekness. The Bible in the book of Matthew 5 and verse 5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, have you ever really wondered what he meant by that? No doubt you have, because many people have pondered that one thought. What did Christ really mean about inheriting the earth? The word meekness is defined from the Greek word pros. Now that's a word that simply, in actuality, means to be gentle. It means to be easily entreated. It originally referred to an animal that had been domesticated, a wild animal that had been brought under control. And if you really think about that, Christ says that at one time we were wild, so to say, spiritually speaking, out of control. And so Christ challenges us to be meek and to be gentle and to be humble in all things. He is one who has learned to keep his strength under control. You know, a lot of times people let their temper fly. They say things they wish they had not said. And sometimes they just let themselves go. And sometimes even psychiatrists will tell people that they just need to go home and vent their anger and their frustration. And certainly such is counter to the will of God. The Bible certainly does not teach that in any stretch of the imagination. But as we think of that word, prowess, as it is defined, meekness defined, it simply means to be gentle. You know, a lot of us probably will never ever fully understand the meaning of that word. George Washington Carver, who was a scientist who developed no doubt hundreds of products from the peanut. How many of you have ever heard of George Washington Carver? Probably started studying about him in school. Well, he said, "When I was young," and this is his quote, he said, "When I was young," he said, "I said to God, 'God, tell me the mystery of the universe.' But God answered, 'That knowledge is reserved for me alone and only me.'" He said, "So I said, 'God, tell me the mystery of the peanut.' And God said, 'Well, George, that's more nearly your size.'" And he told me. Well, sometimes we ask God a lot of questions in life, and we don't always get an answer sometimes to the questions that we bring before the throne of our Master. But I know one thing, that we can easily understand the meaning of the word meekness. We may not understand the meaning of the word universe, but we can understand the word meekness. It is an inwrought grace, according to Vine and his expository dictionary, as he conveys through his New Testament word study. And he said, "And the exercises of it are first and chiefly toward God." We are to be meek toward God. It is that temper of spirit in which we accept God's dealings with us as something that is good. How many times in your life has God allowed things to happen to you and you felt like they were not good for you? For some reason or another, you blame God with whatever the atrocity was that came about in your life. Instead of realizing that Romans 8 and verse 28 is true, that we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purposes. Well, we should never, ever dispute or resist the will of God. Now, I want us to discuss this word, meekness. Let's talk, first of all, about some examples of meekness. If it is something that we need to learn, then certainly we need to peruse through the Bible and find out about those who were meek. And then we can really pattern our lives after them. You know, the Bible mentions the leader of the children of Israel as Moses in the Old Testament. Most of us know the whole story about Moses and how God called him from a burning bush and all of those wonderful lessons about his life. But you may not know it, but the Bible says of Moses in the book of Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, that at that particular time, Moses was the meekest of all men upon the face of the earth. Now, for some reason or another, many of us think of meekness as weakness. We read that passage that says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall be doormats." Well, there are a lot of people that really believe that. They believe that if they are meek, then everybody's really going to walk on them and over them. And that isn't really what Christ teaches at all. But when I think about Moses' life, he was willing to take personal abuse from other people. He was. But he continued to be meek, and he continued to serve as a great example to you and to me and to those who walked with him some thousands of years ago. He was zealous concerning God's law. Moses taught the will of God and felt like it was wrong for anybody to violate that will of God. Exodus chapter 12, and you can read those verses 19 through 28. I wish we had time to put all of that up here tonight. But you can go back, you can mark those verses, and you'll understand the zeal and the enthusiasm with which Moses taught the law and taught the people to adhere to it. I think about not only Moses, but I think about the Apostle Paul. When I think of meekness, and I'm telling you, Paul the Apostle was anything but weak. You know, when I went to the internet and I was looking up the word meekness, and I was trying to come up with these definitions for you tonight, I looked up the word meekness, and I found where Merriam-Webster defined meekness, and she gave the synonym for meekness as timid. Now, for some reason or another, I don't know how in the world they came up with that, but obviously a synonym for the word meekness is not timidity. The Apostle Paul was not timid in any way, and yet he was a meek individual. As a matter of fact, he taught more on the subject of meekness in the New Testament than any of the other writers combined. Paul was an individual who was willing to endure personal insult and injury. And if you go back and you look at his life throughout the book of Acts and all of his missionary journeys, you will find that he faced one insult after another. There were those who rebuked him. There were those who threw him in prison. There were those who brought accusations against him that were untrue. But yet when Paul taught the truth in the book of Galatians 4:16, he said, "Am I become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth." He says, "I'm only sharing with you the will of God." And because he did so, he had become an enemy of many, many people. But he would never, ever allow the truth of God to be compromised. Acts chapter 15. The Bible in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 21 says that we are to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. When I think about the examples of meekness, not only do I think about Moses and I think about the Apostle Paul, but I think about the ultimate. I think about our Lord Jesus Christ. I think about what Christ taught in the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 28 and following. Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Christ was not timid. Christ was not ashamed to humble himself before God and even mankind. But the Bible in the book of Philippians chapter 2 said that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was humble in every way. And he, like Paul and like Moses, was willing to face the abuse that he faced and still honor his God. To allow his own creation, the ones that he created and formed out of the dust of the ground, to put him to death. He was zealous concerning his own father's honor. He said, "It is my meat, my desire to do the will of my Father who is in heaven." And it should be our desire as well. When I think about certainly what Christ did, the Bible said that he did good. He left us an example that we should follow in his steps, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. But when I think about these examples of meekness, meekness is the ability to and strength to choose to endure that personal insult without retaliating. You know, most of us, when people insult us, or they say things about us, or they abuse us in some way or another, there is that natural inborn desire sometimes for us to retaliate or to get back at people. And God said that is counter to what meekness is all about. Well, let's talk a little bit about where we need meekness today. Why is meekness such an important trait? And why did Christ say, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth"? Well, he talks about the need for meekness. Meekness is needed when it comes to the Word of God. Do you know that you and I are to receive this message right here with meekness? Again, James 1:21 says that we're to receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save our souls. There are some who will not meekly accept the truth of God. There are those who belligerently stand up against it and speak against it and teach against it and live against it. And yet the Bible says that you and I are to receive that word with meekness. Meekness is important when we defend the truth. For 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, "To sanctify the Lord God and your heart, and be ready always to give answer to any man who asks you for the hope that lies within you." Now listen to the rest of this. "With meekness and with fear," or respect. And that's what he's talking about. You humbly, with respect and with meekness, share the word of salvation with other people who desire it. You don't force it on others, but out of meekness you teach it. And you share it with those who need it. You know, meekness is needed when you confront an erring brother. I don't know how many of you have ever done that. I've done that a lot in my lifetime, in my years of ministry in the Lord's church. There have been times when Dale and I have done that as elders. There have been times when no doubt elders all over our brotherhood have done that same thing. When someone has gone astray who is a brother or sister in Christ and they have erred from the will of God, it is incumbent upon us as shepherds of the flock to restore that person to the right relationship with God. And the Bible says you do it with meekness. For in Galatians 6:1, the Bible says that if we see a brother overtaken in a fault, he says, "Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." That doesn't mean you're timid about approaching them, but you should approach them in love. And you do it in meekness. And he says, "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now, that doesn't mean you say, "Well, you know, I don't know what I would do if I was in that situation. But you're wrong and you need to get right." You do it in love. Now, some people will not ever perceive a rebuke from the Holy Scriptures as something that is very loving. They're just not going to do it. The Apostle Paul dealt with that, and there were those that he rebuked, those in Galatia and many other places. And when he rebuked them, they did not receive it in the spirit of meekness, even though it was given in the spirit of meekness. But their guilt had been so heavy upon their heart that they would not accept it. When we deal with brethren, it is a very difficult thing. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14 says that we are to put on. We're to put on longsuffering. He says that we are to put on meekness. And if any man has a quarrel against another, notice what he says. He says, "You forgive that individual even as Jesus Christ has forgiven you." So when you deal with brethren, you deal with it in meekness and in love. The two almost go hand in hand. It's like the glove. But when we deal with our fellow man in general, in the book of Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible says that we show meekness. Notice what Paul says, that we're to show meekness to all men, not just to the brethren. We're not just to be meek to one another, but we're to show meekness to all men. And even if you disagree with them, and even if perhaps there are areas in your life where you do not agree with one another, even on the Holy Scriptures, you still show meekness and you show respect and fear. That is respect. Now let's talk a little bit about this promised blessing. Let's get down to this part, because this is the part that really throws a lot of people. What did Christ mean when he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth"? Well, let me go back just a minute. Is it getting a little warm in here to y'all? It is to me too. I'm going to pull my coat off if that's all right, if that's not violating meekness here. Now, I want to tell you that there are a lot of people tonight who believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to earth, and that he is going to set up a kingdom right here upon this earth. And there are many who believe that Christ is going to rule out of Jerusalem, that he's going to be reigning for 1,000 years, and we know that's not consistent with the teaching of Christ, nor is it consistent with the Holy Scriptures that were given by inspiration. Christ is not coming back to set up a kingdom upon this earth. But when people read this, they think that what he is really talking about was inheriting this earth that the meek are, Christians are, during this 1,000-year reign or this period, which is just not true at all. It just simply is a falsehood. Nowhere does the Bible ever say that Jesus Christ is going to set foot on this earth. To the contrary, the Bible says that when he comes again, that we're going to be caught up in the clouds following those who have died already. Go back to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible says that when he comes again, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord is not going to reign here. He is already reigning now. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Did you realize that Christ is now King of kings and he is Lord of lords? And the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I stand to be corrected on this, but I think it's about verse 24, where the Bible says that when Christ comes again, he's going to present the kingdom back to the Father. So when Christ comes again, he's not going to set up a ruling government here upon this earth. He is now ruling in heaven. He is at the right hand of Almighty God. He is King Jesus. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and Revelation declares him to be such. Well, what did Christ mean then when he says, "The meek shall inherit the earth"? The earth is a place of habitation. Do you remember in the book of Revelation chapter 21, the Bible, John says, "And I saw the new heaven and the new earth coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now what he is talking about is the heaven of heaven. It is referred to as that dwelling place of Almighty God. And I really think that what Christ is saying here, and it really is a truism, and a truism is simply a word that says that there could be many meanings to this particular thought, or it could have many different manifestations. I rather think that what Christ is saying here is that we are going to inherit heaven. Now let me tell you why. God placed us here upon this earth. We didn't inherit this earth, did we? No, God placed us here. But the Bible talks about heaven as being that place that we inherit, that someone gives to us. Heaven is going to be a place that God is making ready for the saints of this earth. We're going to inherit heaven. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if we go to heaven, it'll be because of God's goodness and because of his gift of grace. And heaven will be a gift from God. It will not be, it'll be an inheritance. If you've ever inherited anything, you understand you didn't have to work for it. Someone just left it to you. Someone bequeathed it to you. And if you have a will, you have already written in that will that you're bequeathing certain things to certain individuals. Well, the Bible is the will of God. It is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. If you were to look in your Bible, you would find that to be true. And in that will of God, or that will of Jesus Christ, He is giving us an inheritance called heaven, or referred to perhaps as that dwelling place, the earth, and if you want to call it that. It is the promised blessing to inherit the earth, someone has said, is to be victorious. It is to inherit the promised blessings of God, not by our own power, but by our obedient trust in God. That has to be heaven. I'll tell you why. For the Bible says in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 7, 8, and 9, Paul says, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is coming, and when He comes again, this earth is going to be burned up, according to what Peter said. He said, the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also shall be burned up. And He says, seeing that all of these things be dissolved, we understand what dissolve means, don't we? He says, seeing that all these things are dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, or the way that you live? To inherit the earth, or the blessing of God, is to inherit heaven. It is. Now, I don't believe, and there's some that believe tonight, that Christ is talking about this earth and that peace is going to prevail on this earth. Not true. Christ didn't teach that. But He did teach that He's coming again. But when He comes again, if you read the book of John, the 14th chapter, verse 1 and following there, He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me, for in My Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But I've gone away to prepare for you that place. And if I go again, I will come again, and I will, listen to it now, receive you unto Myself. We're not going to receive Him down here, but He's going to receive us to Himself. He says that where I am, there you may be also. Now, all kinds of religious concoctions that people have surmised through the years about the second coming of Christ. But I can tell you most assuredly that the concept of Christ coming and reigning 1,000 years upon this earth, and even though there are many theologians that teach that, you won't find it in the Word of God. And I have challenged many of them. I have debated many of them about it. And there is no answer that will sustain the concept that says, hey, Christ is going to come back here and He's going to reign out of Jerusalem and we're going to have some kind of new world order. Just not going to happen, folks. And we got a lot of congressmen up in Washington that believe that's going to happen, and that's why we keep supporting all these Jews, these liberal Jews, might I add, up in Washington. Let me retract that. Not all Jews are liberal. Just most of them. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Do we choose to be meek? Do we allow God to yoke us with His will? Do we deal with others in the spirit of meekness, patiently enduring personal injury, while trusting in God to grant us the only victory that will ever, ever matter? And that is the victory over death, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible says it's the last enemy to be destroyed. You know, when I think of the meek, I have learned through the years that only the meek respond to Christ for cleansing of sin. Only the meek. Only the meek. Man doesn't come to Jesus unless he has a heart of meekness. Doesn't do it. You know, even when God called Moses out of that burning bush, And he told him he wanted him to go down to Pharaoh and lead the people away from Egyptian bondage. You know what Moses says? God, he says, you don't need me. He said, I'm slow of speech. And God says, you know what? That's the very spirit that I need. You're the kind of fella I need. And you know what? God chooses the humble to confound this world. The Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Out of meekness, one surrenders to become a children of God and to obey the Lord. And when a man refuses to obey God, I'm telling you, folks, you can understand quite well, he's not a man of meekness. Those who are baptized for the remission of sins are those who yield out of meekness to the will of God. And those who have sinned publicly and feel the need to be closer to the Lord are those who come to acknowledge such a need, listen to this, out of meekness and out of lowliness. Jesus said that we're to follow him. You know why? Because he is meek and lowly. Listen to what he says now. Listen to the rest of this. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. The rest of God comes to the meek and to the lowly. It does. I hope tonight that we understand it better. I hope that we understand it so well that tomorrow we will be clothed in that beautiful quality that we call the fruit of the Spirit. When I think about that word, I think about the song that says, Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. And purer lives your service find, and deeper reverence praise. Drop your still dews of quietness till all our striving cease, and take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. And only till we can say such, do we really understand what meekness is? And do we really practice it? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian and you desire to put on the Lord in baptism and to begin following the Lord by allowing him to yoke you with his love and his word, then you can do that tonight. If you're a Christian and you've erred from the way of God, you've moved away from that fruit of the Spirit that should characterize the lives of all of us, that spirit of meekness. May God bring us back to his throne tonight while we stand and while we sing.